I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, IU, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, Faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. A little bit later show than normal. I recorded an episode on Locked On, 49ers with the great guys Croc and Peacock this morning. That should be coming out on their feed, I don't know, later today or tomorrow morning, but whatever. So this show's a little bit later. Hopefully you guys are cool with that. This is episode 1,397 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. And I've got some fun stuff today. We're jumping into some best of, worst of, right? So I started a poll yesterday, and I was like, man, who's the best pick of the Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch era so far? There's only three names in my opinion, but it frustrated. I think a lot of people got upset because like they have to pick between who they like the most out of, you know, some all timers. So we're going to go through that. And then I thought, well, man, we got to do the flip side as well. And oh, the worst pick in the Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch era, that as well, which I don't like drafting is probably the wrong word. Attracting negative attention. Rule number 331 of Wedding Crashers, right? Don't sit in the corner and draft attention to yourself in a negative way. But I went ahead and put it out there, and I didn't like it whenever I hit send. But the conversation, I think, is important. So we're going to go through that. Yeah, it's negative. I understand. Not my style, but I think it's interesting. Going to look through some past profiles. Draft profiles that we read. We're going to go back over Jacob Cowing and see what that looks like. And then The Athletic did a really cool piece where they went back and redrafted last year's first round, 2024 draft. And we have a 49ers player who was not drafted in the first round make an appearance at pick 16, which I thought was interesting. So, again, just kind of that looking back at last year's draft and kind of how that went, which I think is really, really interesting to say the least. Want to say thank you to all the hashtag CCs, the countdown crew. You guys are incredible. Oh, look at Brody. Look at that. CC and also a quick hook 'em. Always welcome. What's up, Josh? Josh always working. This dude's a workaholic. I love you, man. You're the man, Josh. Glad that you are with us. Let's go. My man Yatsik in the house. I love it. I love it. I love it. The voice is doing well. I had to take 2 days off. Monday, I didn't record. I still worked and worked on, you know, the draft party plans and setting all that stuff up. That's a constant endeavor, which I'm excited about. But the voice is doing good. We'll see if it can last, which I'm not too worried about. Look at this. Nick Scorton overall, says Josh. I like Nick Scorton. I like Nick Skorton. I love it. I love it. Look at this. Johan all the way from the Irish faithful. That is awesome. That is awesome. And Lori, did you hear about a Niners suspension that came down today? Yeah. Our international player pathway program, Isaac Alarcon. Yeah. 6-game suspension. Now, good news, bad news. He still gets to practice with the team all throughout training camp and whatever else and preseason. He doesn't get to play the actual games. Zero. I don't want to be mean. 0% chance of making the actual 53. But yeah, suspension hurts. You know, he doesn't get paychecks. He doesn't get all those things and whatever else. Yeah, and not great. Not great at all. So anytime a player gets suspended, that's a bummer. That's a bummer. What's up, David, my man? And shout out, man, I got to do this. Our executive producers, David Gill, 49ers Shorts, 365, and Corey Robbins, they make this happen. They make this happen. Look at this. Pick Banks at 11. I would. But, I don't think that they will. I don't think that they will, but I would. What's up, Joel? I thought you would appreciate this late show all the way in the Philippines. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you. Right here, did the A&M coach said he'd take Skorton over Stewart? Ooh, I have not seen that, but I'm a Longhorn. I'm not tracking, what is said or not said. So I'm going to set up a search. Let's see here. Did Texas A&M, I hate type this. So anyway, I put this in there. I'll see if something comes up. But I did not see that, but I wouldn't be shocked. Yeah. They're not close to me. I have Skorton as a top second round player, like one of my top second round players. Like, and then I've got Stewart bottom second round player. Like, yeah. And you know, one of the questions that has been put out there or do a facepalm mock draft, kind of like how I felt when they drafted, the kicker. So, like, do a whole draft of just picks like that. And if I do that, my first number 11 pick would be Shamar Stewart, who's visiting the Niners today, by the way. So, that is in the realm of possibility. Anyway, what I'm seeing here, I'm not seeing anything official. But, I'm going to keep looking after the show and see if I can find something like that. I love everybody putting their favorite picks and least favorite picks out there. We're going to go through some of those for sure. AJ Jenkins wasn't in this era, but yeah, AJ Jenkins definitely, I think, probably worst, definitely the conversation of worst ever. We'll go through all of that. Right here, Niner fan said, heard it on Sirius Radio. Okay, interesting. Yeah, Skorton makes sense. I would take Nick Skorton 10 out of 10 times over Shamar Stewart. The athleticism and all those things, that's great, man. I want football players. I want football. He's not to say Shamar Stewart's not a football player, but like he's an athlete who happens to play football. And so like a lot of times whenever those wide receivers come out and run like 4.2s and 4.3s and get drafted early, like a lot of them are just track guys who happen to play football. I don't want those guys. That's not desired. And I see that with Shamar Stewart. And people talk about, man, he's so good against the run. Mike Green's better against the run than he is. And he weighs, 30 pounds less? Like, 4 inches shorter? Doesn't matter. Like, I'll take somebody that has awareness, IQ, understand, can diagnose plays. That dude is just big, strong, fast, and runs straight head up into every single person that's ever blocked him, has no clue what the play is ever. I'm out on that one. I am completely out on that one. Somebody's going to take Shamar because of his athleticism. There are traits, draft teams like the Colts and the Jaguars used to be. We'll see what they are now. Now they've got the Rams GM over there, so probably not a traits, based team. So we'll see what that is. Now, so let's dive into this. Now, let's start with the best picks of the Shanahan Lynch era, and let's get rid of some of the guys that are honorable mentions. There's only three that I think can make a case for best, draft picks ever. Mike says, best pick is Bosa. I didn't even count Bosa because he was the number 2 overall pick. Everybody knew what he was. that was simple. I remember there were people telling me, should have been Quinnen Williams. Should have been Quinnen Williams, damn good player. Not even close to Bosa. That was like the most like lock it up, easy, simple. So I didn't include Bosa, but he's amazing. There's no doubt about that. Defensive player of the year. I get that. But you know, some other honorable mentions, Dominique Pooney, still too early to tell, but damn, he is great. In the third round, D'Amador Lenore in the fifth round. Now, no Pro Bowls, no All Pros yet, but his trajectory is all right. This could be, you know, one of those guys. Fifth round pick. You talk about Talano Hufanga had an All Pro year, fifth round pick. You let him go. That hurts. Dre Greenlaw, you know, no Pro Bowls, no All Pros, never was a team captain. You let him go, and I will constantly stay on that hill. And I know I'm going to give emails. Oh, but hey, they offered him more money. You showed up late to the party. It's what it is. You never should have hit free agency. If you wanted him, you could have kept him. You didn't keep him. You tried to let him test his market, which his dad talked about. If he was a priority, you should have made him a priority. You did not. But Dre Greenlaw, definitely honorable mention. You got incredible value out of that dude. And Juwan Jennings. But, you know, he was a seventh rounder, but you cut him. So then that makes it a little weird. And, you know, this last year of his deal, will you keep Juwan? I really wish you would. Really wish you would. But, yeah, that's where it hurts, right? Is because, man, I really wish they would have gave him a long-term contract and locked him up before he went all world. But now it's the last year. Can you pay him? Are you going to start paying players again? Or are you going to sit out and kind of make all these cash moves again? That's where it's hard. Yeah, and Lenore, he's in there. Can he get there? But for me, in no particular order, I'll tell you my order whenever I'm said with this discussion, but in no particular order, I'll go in the order in which they were drafted, you know, by year, right? Chronologically, George Kittle, Fred Warner, and Brock Purdy. I think those are the three, right? George Kittle, Fred Warner, Brock Purdy. Now,
time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
It's hard to weigh the measurables, right? Because here's the deal. I see George Kittle and Fred Warner as Hall of Famers. Fred Warner's already in the Hall of Fame. If Fred Warner never played another play again, Fred Warner would be a Hall of Fame inductee. Okay, and I'll lay out the case for that. George Kittle, I think, is on the fringe. I think he will be, and because of George Kittle's personality, because of what he does with tight end U, what he'll do after he's done, all those things. I do not believe, however, that George Kittle has already finished a Hall of Fame career. It's borderline. Fred Warner, Hayes in the barn. Now, can he get to, you know, first ballot Hall of Fame or all those things? I think George Kittle still needs more work. Get another Pro Bowl, get another All-Pro, get a Super Bowl. Then I think George Kittle's in. But right now, I don't think so. Then you got Brock Purdy. No Pro Bowls, no All-Pros, finished fourth in MVP voting 1 year. But the story, the Mr. Irresistible, the last pick of the draft, no last pick of the draft has ever even started a football game at any position, let alone quarterback, let alone go to not one, but two NFC championships game and a Super Bowl appearance. And he's about to get paid. Like, his future is just, it's unreal. And so Brock Purdy, when it's all said and done, I think will be the best draft pick of to date. Right. I think that he will be. He's 25 years old, just turned 25. Like, this guy has a decade plus of playing in the NFL. And it's not like he's got a rocket arm and, you know, that's going to go away. He ain't got a rocket arm now. So, like, he can play for a long, long, long time. But he's not there yet. The fact that you have one, potentially two Hall of Famers already, I think that the conversation has to go to them. I really do. So let's talk George Kittle, because I freaking love me some George Kittle. Who doesn't? Fan favorite. Unbelievable personality. Even his wife is famous. It's funny because, you know, we do all these rush road trips and tailgates or whatever else, and we get players around and people always go crazy. When Kristen Juszczyk and Kittle's wife, Claire Kittle, came in to our event in Arizona, that was a whole nother level. it was a trip, man. I don't even think they knew it was our event. I didn't. They showed up. It was awesome. But like it, the amount of aura and whatever, like everybody freaking loves them. Monkey Boy says, best is either Kittle or Warner. Heart and souls of the team. Fred is a freaking Iron Man. That's huge. Right here, Mike says, yeah, Kittle has got to be the best find. Go down as a top five tight end all time. I don't think he's there yet. And I don't think the numbers are there yet. Whether that's his fault, the 49ers' fault, whatever, that's a different conversation. But we'll play through some of those. We'll play through kind of what that looks like. Mike, again, Kittle is already, he's being discussed as a top five all time. I think that he is. I would argue that Kittle is probably the second best all-around tight end in the history of the NFL, only behind Gronk. That's it. Like, if you were asking me, you get a player in their prime, and for any scheme, whether it's spread, power, you want to go old school, you want to go whatever, it's Gronk, Kittle to me. Those are the only two guys that are elite at the run game and elite in the passing game. Now, I know there's some old hats in here saying, yeah, well, hold on. But those are my two. I'm taking Gronk would be my number one choice. And again, like, let's go through. It's not fair to hold Gronkowski up against Kittle. That's not fair. But let's go through Kittle's resume first. Six Pro Bowls. That's it. That's more than Gronk. Gronk only had five. Two All Pros. He's been screwed on All Pro twice. He should have four, but this matters with the Sports Writers Association, the Professional Football Writers Association. They're the ones that vote on this. All pros matter, and no Super Bowls yet. And no Super Bowls for Fred Warner or Brock Purdy either, but when you're talking all-time tight ends, I mean, shoot, Gronk, five Pro Bowls, four All Pros, four Super Bowls. That's pretty damn hard to compete with, right? Now, the numbers, the metrics, those are there. I do think that George Kittle has been the best tight end in the NFL for 3 years now, minimum. Travis Kelce gets the accolades, but that's all that these dumb professional – not all of them are dumb. I hate the Professional Writers Association. I can't stand it. I hate how they gatekeep. I hate how they're the ones that decide, and they don't even watch all the games. I hate the fact that Brock Bowers, who was a slot wide receiver last year, was first-team All-Pro. Not that he didn't deserve it, but zero. Anybody that watches football, George Kittle, what he did last year was incredible. Not saying Brock Bowers didn't, but there is no way in hell anybody should have voted for Brock Bowers over George Kittle. Anybody that did is an idiot. I'm sorry. I don't care if they... My platform doesn't matter, but those people are stupid as shit. I'm sorry. Like, they're not football watchers. These are guys that they're not. But that matters because those are the same knuckleheads that decide who get into the Hall of Fame. And so that sucks because you look at George Kittle and you're like, okay, he's got two All Pros. That's it. And that is no Super Bowls. That's an issue. And so... Now, all the off-the-field stuff and tight end you, and, you know, my criteria for Hall of Fame is, can you talk about that position and that time without mentioning this player? And you can't. If you bring up tight end play for the past decade, George Kittle is paramount at that conversation. And I think that's huge. But he's 31 years old with two All-Pros. That's low. He's a total package. Like, I'm not dissing anything that is George Kittle. I just said I'd take him as the second best all-around tight end in the history of the game. That's not what I'm doing. But whenever you compare the metrics, which is what sports writers do, like the numbers, the stats, that's not Kittle's platform. That doesn't weigh appropriately the measure that George Kittle brings to the field. And that's a problem. That is a problem. And again, he's 31 years old. How many All-Pro seasons does he have? If Brock Bowers got All-Pro over him last year, gosh, man. Yeah. He's a slot wide receiver. You gave an All-Pro to a slot wide receiver. Brock Bowers is awesome. But nobody. Oh, man, that pisses me off so much. Right here, Ben Ali says, you know, Kittle spent the prime of his career with the rotating carousel of quarterbacks. Yeah, Nick Mullins, C.J. Beathard, like Trey Lance, Jimmy Garoppolo, Brian Hoyer. I mean, you can go on and like he's dealt with some issues. And so whereas Gronk has only caught passes from one quarterback ever, and that's Tom Brady. Yeah, I think that that is a very, very important thing to bring to the table. There's no doubt about that. And comparing their, yeah, it's hard. And then you could, you know, do the Jerry Rice thing. That dude had Steve Young and Joe Montana, like, throughout most of his career. But then you see what he did with Rich Gannon at 40-plus years old. Then it's like, okay, all conversations need to stop. Jerry is Jerry. Like, that's what it is. But that is a problem for Kittle. So how many All-Pros does Kittle have left? Maybe one. I hope more. But let's just be honest. He's 31. Now, you look at his Pro Football Hall of Fame kind of monitor score over on Pro Football Reference. He has a 42.3. Okay, well, what's that mean? That's 25th out of all tight ends ever. So when people say, okay, he's a top five tight end, he doesn't have the score, which measures Pro Bowls, All Pros, championships, leading the NFL, receivings, touchdowns, all these different things. He doesn't have. Listen to the players that he's behind. Ben Olsen, you got to wait for him to get in. I'm sorry, Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen's going to get in first. He's way ahead of him. Ben Coates, Jimmy Graham, Jason Witten, Gronk, Kelsey. Like, none of those guys are in yet. So there's a logjam at the tight end position. I mean, he's not getting ahead of Gronk, Kelsey, or Greg Olsen. And again, I would take Kittle over a lot of those guys, but man, you look at the stats. Greg Olsen has 60 touchdowns. Kittle has 45. Greg Olsen has over 1,300 yards more than him. You know what? Like, that's the problem. That is the problem. Now, Greg Olsen never had an All-Pro season, but the stat watchers are important whenever it comes to this stuff. So, like, I just think that there is a logjam at the tight end position. That's what I don't like. I don't like there's so many guys not in the Hall of Fame that are ahead of him. I think Kittle gets in, and I think he will get in. I think he needs more. Now, he's ahead of Keith Jackson, Zach Ertz, Jay Novacek, Brent Jones, Vernon Davis, Dallas Clark. On that Pro Football Hall of Fame scale, he's just got to get more accolades. He gets another Pro Bowl, another two Pro Bowls. I think that's huge. I really, really do. And again, I really hope that, you know, people aren't taking this as, I think Kittle's amazing. And yeah, here's the problem, Niner Fan 57. Do those scores include blocking? No. And guess who votes on all of this? People that do not watch film. I'm sorry. That's what pisses me off so much whenever you get to MVP voting, Player of the Year voting, offensive, defense, whatever else, Rookie of the Year. They don't watch film. These are writers. That's not a bad thing that they're writers, but they do not watch all 32 teams play. They might have it on Red Zone. Ah, yeah. Anyway, I'm not calming down, David Wallner. I'm passionate about this. And I do believe that the extras are always beneficial. You'll see a lot of the legends go work at NFL.com or NFL Network, and that bumps them up into the Hall of Fame. And you see it all the time. Not saying they don't have Hall of Fame careers, but if you're on the fringe, what you do after the NFL matters. You have to be seen. You have to be relevant, and that pushes the sports writers. I'm so anti-sports writers and being involved in this, but that's okay. But I do think you brash, national tight end will get him in. Those are huge positives. Huge. And he created that. Jimmy Garoppolo came up with the idea. And then, of course, he ran with it. It's Vince says, you know, Kittle needs a ring. Tight end you is pretty influential. Can contribute to that. I think it will, too. Yeah, 1,000-yard seasons. Olsen had 3. and Kittle had four. I'm not saying I'm taking Greg Olsen over Kittle. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I am saying Greg Olsen's one of the best play-by-play announcers, and he is 100% at the forefront of every single Sunday, and he has the stats. I'm just telling you, unless Kittle gets two more All-Pros or two more Pro Bowls or a championship, I think Olsen gets in ahead of him. I'm not saying I agree with that, but when was Greg Olsen's last year? 2020. So he's going to be eligible next year. And so here's what George Kittle needs. And again, there's a big difference between being a first ballot and getting into the Hall of Fame. Like Gronk, first ballot. Kelce, first ballot. Witten, nah, he retired 2020 as well. So what's going to happen is those years are going to start to pile up. And you're going to have Witten. You're going to have Jimmy Graham. You're going to have Greg Olsen. And Zach Ertz, if you want to put that in there. Like those guys are going to start to build a little bit of a logjam at that position. And that's what I don't like. That's what I don't like. And the injuries, yeah, injuries have been huge. And he's been overlooked. Take that for what you will. Brash says, you know, I'm an Antonio Gates guy. I love Antonio Gates. And obviously, he's already in the Hall of Fame. You don't put Antonio Gates in the best all-around tight end category, right? You don't put Kelce in that. You don't put Tony Gonzalez in that. You don't put those guys in there. The best all-around tight ends are, you know, Shannon Sharp, Rob Gronkowski, Jason Witten you could put in there, Kittle, like the guys that could do it all. You have your basically slot wide receiving tight ends, not knocking them. But again, what do you want, right? I love Kittle. And I think that he gets in. I want him to be a first ballot. I don't think he's there yet. I really, really don't. Now, let's jump over to the Fred Warner talk. Different story. Okay. Four Pro Bowls, less than Kittle. Four All Pros. That is the difference. And he's only 28. He's 3 years younger with twice as many All-Pros already. It is certified as the best linebacker in the NFL for four consecutive years. And there's no conversation. There's no conversation out there. Like, you could debate Kittle versus Kelce. You cannot debate any linebacker right now over Fred Warner. You can't. When he was healthy before he fractured his ankle last year, dude was defensive player of the year. Like in that conversation, played through a fractured ankle, has missed one game his entire career, is only 28, and his Hall of Fame monitor score is 53.3, 11 points over Kittle already, and he's played one less season. He's 35th amongst linebackers. Listen to the guys that he's ahead of. Dave Wilcox, Clay Matthews, Levante David, Willie McGinnis, Mike Vrabel. He's ahead of all those guys. Like his competition is different. And whenever you look at linebackers that are ahead of him, man, like there's no like recent guys. Navarro Bowman's ahead of him. It's going to take Navarro a while to get in. He'll get in. My favorite freaking player. I love Navarro Bowman. You got Bobby Wagner, who's still playing. And Bobby Wagner is a 112. Hall of Fame score twice, but Bobby Wagner has six All Pros, 10 Pro Bowls, and a championship ring. Can, you know, Warner get to that level? But, you know, Wagner's going to retire several years before Warner. So, like, that's not really competition. Luke Kuechly, you know, he's got a 119 score, but this is his first year, like, to be available. So, like, there is no competition. Whenever he retires, that he's competing with, right? Like, there's not a log jam at the position of linebacker. CJ Mosley is already way ahead of him. Roquan Smith, we'll see who plays longer. They came out the same year, actually, but he's way ahead of him. Like, Demario Davis, who I think is awesome. You know, I think he'll retire beforehand, but he's already ahead of Demario Davis, London Fletcher, Hardy Nickerson. We'll see Navarro Bowman. But, like, there's not a logjam. So, now, step back. Does it matter? If you're close, you give it to Kittle because he was a fifth-round pick. Fred Warner was a third. I think, and this is where I'm going with the Hall of Famer. So I think the best pick was Fred Warner. I'm biased. Got to hang out with Fred. Got to interview Fred. He came to the last draft party we did in Vegas a couple years ago. Kittle, I have no problem with. He would be my number two, and Brock Purdy would be my three. How's that going to pan out once all of their seasons are combined? Because the quarterback, if Brock Purdy plays for the 49ers for 10 more years, that's the answer. That is the answer. I'm telling you right now, all pro Fred, he will be in the Hall of Fame, and I want him to be a first time, first, like, initial one chance straight in. Fred Warner is the greatest coverage linebacker of all time. Jeff, that is, yes, I've been echoing those words for a long time. The greatest coverage linebacker in the history of the NFL. And if Fred Warner never played a game again, I think he's a Hall of Famer. Will he be a first ballot? No, but I think he's in there. And I do believe Fred will be a first ballot. I do. Yeah, he changed the game. He changed it. I'm with you. I freaking love this conversation. I love it, man. I love how much y'all care. Warner is the best linebacker in the league since Patrick Willis. Luke Kuechly, Bobby Wagner, they're in those conversations, right? I think that's the conversation, is that you have Willis, Bowman, Kuechly, Wagner, Warner. Like, those are the guys. That's them. I'm with you completely. What's up, Dave? How you doing? I had him taking Fred Warner round two, says Invader. Oh, I love that. That's fun. Ring would mean so much to all these guys. It does. It really, really does. There's no doubt about that. I freaking love these conversations, guys. I really, really do. And, you know, we talk about how big the draft is and all those things, and it's huge. We put a lot of time and effort into all of this. And there's going to be good and bad picks. That's the thing that I think a lot of fans, Niner fans, don't realize. Like, you know, I was talking with, anyway, all these draft picks that we made last year or this upcoming, we have 11 draft picks. A lot of them ain't going to work. A lot of them aren't. Now, after the draft, everybody's going to tell us why all 11 are amazing and there's no misses and all of them are making the roster and blah, 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 blah. That's never happened in the history of football. There's going to be bad draft picks. And that's what we're going to talk about next. Who is the worst draft pick since Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch showed up? But before then, if you want to watch the draft, there's only one way to do it, baby. And if you guys are on social media, D'Amador Lenore just shared the 49ers Rush Road Trip Flyer. That's right. Demo is going to be coming to our draft party. I'm so proud and honored. I've been telling you guys, I've been looking for a new favorite player on this 49ers roster because Dre Greenlaw's gone now. And I've been saying Demo's right up there. I don't think I have a choice anymore. Party with the faithful. Let's go. We're going to be at Broadway Studios over in North Beach area from 4 to 9 p.m. or until the draft ends. We might go longer. We rented the place out for the entire evening, so we could stay and party, have a great time. We're going to be there Thursday, and we're going to be there Friday for days one and day two of the draft. D'Amador Lenore, you want to meet him, autograph, all that kind of stuff. That's going to be on day one. We've got big screens, trivia, giveaways, you name it. It's going to be incredible. Day two is going to be awesome. That's for the hardcore draft people. Big screens everywhere, NFL Network, ESPN, plus we're live broadcasting. You are going to be covered. 49ers-centric coverage, nonstop. I'm so pumped, man. Get to meet D'Amador Lenore? What? Go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com. Get your tickets now. All right. Now, in wrapping up the previous conversation, I didn't pull up the poll. Sorry about that. I did a Twitter poll, had about 1,000 votes last time I was on. George Kittle had the highest vote total, 45%. Fred Warner, 33%. Brock Purdy, 20%. I would vote Warner, Kittle, Purdy is how I would have voted, but that's okay. Sports are, subjective, I guess. you could kind of, you know, put your emphasis. I don't think any are wrong answers, is what I'm trying to say. Now, let's get to worst pick. And I hate drawing negative attention, and that's okay. The worst pick. Now, I did not include Joe Williams, who never was a running back you traded up for, never got one carry, because he was a later pick. But he could have been. Didn't include Trey Sermon, Ty Davis Price, Cam Latu, all those guys that just never contributed in any way, shape, or form because they were later picks. The only later pick I included in the four worst picks since Shanahan and Lynch showed up is Jake Moody, because, and he's still on the team. And, you know, maybe he turns around and becomes the greatest 49ers kicker of all time. I don't care. He still is awful because you don't spend a third round pick on a kicker ever. There was never, ever a time in the history of football that that has been worth it. I don't care if he was the best kicker ever. It's not worth it. There's no value ever in drafting a kicker or a punter ever. I almost put Mitch Wisnowski on there too, because again, those are two of the dumbest selections in the history of 49ers football. Again, we just talked about Hall of Famers, best at their position, being drafted in the third round. You took a third round kicker. Hall of Famer tight end, one of the best ever, you took in the fifth round. Instead, you took a punter in the fourth. Like, dumb as shit. I'm sorry. I cannot ever get over how stupid it is to draft a kicker or a punter ever, ever, let alone in the third and fourth round. Stupid as shit. I'm sorry. Dumb. People should have been fired. You should not make grown-up decisions if you're drafting a kicker and a punter in the fourth round. And for those of you like, well, they didn't know, it's all they needed. Look at the damn roster now. Look at the damn roster now, right? Congratulations. You have the highest drafted kicker and punter in the NFL on your roster currently, and they both are terrible. They're both awful. Sorry. My vote for worst pick ever is Jake Moody. I understand I'm in a minority in that. I don't give a damn what Al Davis did. That was stupid as hell with Seabass as well. And they almost cut Sebastian Janikowski a year later because of how bad he was. Still not worth it. Still not worth it. Don't care. It's dumb. It's ignorant. It's stupid. A lot of people said Javon Kinlaw. I completely disagree with that. Now, the problem was everybody saw Kinlaw as a DeForest Buckner replacement. Not, it wasn't. But you did get two good years his rookie year until he got injured on that pick six, which I assume is where he got injured celebrating. And then the playoff run in 2023, he was the best defensive lineman you had on the team all the way through the Super Bowl. He was the best. Outplayed every defensive lineman, including Eric Armstead, including Nick Bosa, including $20 million guy, Javon Hargrave. Javon Kinlaw was better than all of them. And so I know people already had their minds set on him, and I understand that. And now you're looking at him making $15 million a year. Like, yeah, did he live up? Did he replace Buckner? No, he did not. But you at least got two good years out of him. I do not include him in this conversation. Reuben Foster, he got 6% of the vote. You know, the off-the-field stuff, the injuries. Man, his highlights were so good, though. But yeah, that was huge. You got basically nothing for him. Solomon Thomas is second with 12.8% of the vote. And it's Solomon Thomas also, he's had a decent career. I think he's on his fifth contract. Like, he's a great locker room guy, Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee, whatever. Everybody loves him. It's just he never lived up to the number three overall pick. The fact that Mahomes was there and you didn't even scout him, that's huge. Thanks, Kirk Cousins. That's why that pick hurts. But even if you just look at the production or lack thereof, that Solomon Thomas, I wonder how many – let me pull up how many sacks. And again, I don't like considering sacks as, you know, the basis of if this is a good or a bad player. But, yeah, he had 6 sacks with the 49ers. Like, that's terrible. Before he tore his ACL in 2020, then he was out the window. Now he's got 18 and a half career sacks. All of his best years have been away from us, which is problematic. He's had 3 years. His best 3 years were not with the 49ers. Take that for what you will. Solomon Thomas needs to be involved because of what he cost you. And he was productive. Like, he wasn't a bad player. The 49ers put him in the wrong spot to start. And then you finally figured it out, and it was like, oh, he's just a situational pass rusher. That's what he is. Okay, cool. Not the third overall pick. Josh says, you know, Solomon was productive, but nowhere near a first-round talent. And, you know, the number one, and by a wide margin, the vote, 73% said Trey Lance. And three first-rounders with a third, what you got out of it. Yeah, you're talking about draft value put in, never got anything back. You got a fourth rounder, which turned into Malik Mustafa, which I like that, but still, no. So I get Trey Lance being the worst. The only issue I would say is you swung for the fences and missed. What if Trey Lance was Josh Allen? He wasn't. Might not even be. I think he got signed in the NFL by somebody, but like he wasn't. But at least you swung, right? Like if you traded all of that for Mac Jones, who is better, just never had a ceiling to him. Like Mac Jones is exactly what we thought he was. Trey Lance, there was a chance. And so I like the fact it was a terrible pick, terrible, but at least you swung, right? And so I like that. And so like it a part of me that makes the Trey Lance a little bit more like, all right, is everybody sucked after him. Whether you wanted Mac Jones, Justin Fields probably the best out of that list, but like, do you want Justin Fields to be your franchise quarterback? No. Mac Jones, no. Like, even if you would have made that trade and you got Trevor Lawrence, still no. Like, no quarterback in that group, right? Like, has been worth a damn. Trevor Lawrence is good, and he's got the tools, but like, golly, man, his decision-making process and lack of accuracy. I get the big body, I get the strong arm, I get all those, and the highlights are great, but man, you watch the tape on any of those quarterbacks. Ugh, gross. Gross. And then the BYU kid, terrible as well. And then people always come back like, man, you could have had Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons wasn't on the board. Wasn't even on the board. Like, I would bet everything. Micah Parsons, it's funny because when we talk draft picks now, we talk like Mike Green. If you put Mike Green's off-the-field issues next to Micah Parsons, Mike Green is a goddamn Boy Scout compared to Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons, you look into his past, it's awful. It is terrible, the things that guy did. Now, he's a Dallas Cowboy, or he was going to go to the Chiefs. Niners weren't going to draft that guy. And so, like, again, this is not me advocating for Mike Green. I'm just saying those are two categorically different character issues. And like, ugh, gross. Yeah, just, you spend time. I'm not going into it. I don't, that dude, he's a great damn football player. No doubt about it. Anyway, so like Trey Lance is the winner. I agree. I would vote Jake Moody. And I understand it's a third round pick, comp pick that you missed. I don't give a damn. That was gross negligence of the highest degree. Trey Lance had a chance to be, and it's a position of value, and you're swinging for upside, and you had a good team, and all those things. Like, I can understand why a team would do that. I cannot in any way, shape, or form ever understand how in the hell you spend a third-round pick on a kicker. I cannot ever grasp that, and I never will be able to grasp that. That's my problem. Silent says, reaching for Lance was dumb. Still had Jimmy. Jimmy, I think they were 100% right on Jimmy. But yeah, it would be nice to have all those first rounders back. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. But I would argue Kyle Shanahan was 1,000% right about Jimmy Garoppolo. And why he made that trade up is because of Jimmy Garoppolo. One, business decisions and, you know, always being injured and never protected the ball and not a good teammate and all those different things. Like, those are all there. And I know I probably just pissed a lot of people off. But, yeah, I mean, that was right. The replacement wasn't right. But the problem, and again, all five quarterbacks that win the first round, all were wrong. All of them were wrong. Yeah, no shot at Trevor Lawrence. Zach, the BYU kid, you didn't have a shot at him. Trey Lance, Fields. If Fields was the third pick, it was Trey Lance, then Mac Jones, then Justin Fields. Like, you just got it wrong. You got it wrong. And yeah, they would have been better improving the rest of the team. You are exactly correct. But yeah, it was rough. Oh, Tommy, I love this. Tommy says that Tommy is a first round bust myself, and John Chapman is a seventh round all pro. Man, those are kind words. Tommy's never nice. And so I had to highlight that comment because Tommy's sense of humor is kind of like mine, where insults are kind of how you prove you care about somebody. But thank you, Tommy. I'm going to change my Facebook profile now after that comment. I love it. I love it. So anyway, those are my kind of picks. And I was going to pull this up. Sorry. I was supposed to pull this up already, but I messed up. If we look at just the Twitter, whatever, poll, let me add that. Boom, 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 boom. Here we go. Share screen. Let's go to entire screen. There we go. This is the worst pick in the voting there. So Trey Lance, 73%. Solomon Thomas, 12%. Reuben Foster, 6. Jake Moody, 6. And I understand Jake Moody is the only one still on the team. I get that, but I'm still just like, man, there is no way that pick could ever be sold in a positive way ever. Maybe if he was a 2- or 3-time All-Pro kicker, instead he's the worst kicker in the NFL, literally the worst kicker in the NFL. So, yeah, take that for whatever. Now, let's go to more recent and probably more positive. The Athletic put out a redraft. Nick Baumgartner, The Athletic, did a redraft of the 2024 draft. It was a really fun read, and it was awesome. Only one 49er made an appearance, and that was the offensive lineman Dominic Pooney, who went 16th. Not only first round, he was the second offensive lineman taken in this draft. So he had Joe Alt going 5. Talese Fuaga went 12th, and then Dominic Pooney went 16th, which he had him going to the Seattle Seahawks. That grosses me out, makes me want to throw up. But, like, what a testament to, again, if we're talking, like, positive draft picks, like, Dominic Pooney is on the horizon of being on this list. That's how good he has been. Now, guard's not as sexy or glamorous or whatever else, but Dominic's rookie year was incredible. Now, the one game that, and this got brought up in the chat, you know, I put this out on Twitter, the Rams, Kobe Turner, who is a freaking beast, absolutely abused Dominic Pooney. That was his worst game of the year, which sucks that it happened against the Rams. That's the matchup to watch going forward, and I guarantee you, Pooney's got enough tape, fuel, fire to build going into his sophomore year, because that game was bad. He was great almost against everybody else. Kobe Turner ate his lunch. I want to see how he responds. Mustafa being on that list. Yeah. Safety's harder, right? Ricky Pearsall didn't. Nobody else made it, whether that was, you know, Renardo Green. If I had to redo the list in my order, Dominic Pooney would be 1. Malik Mustafa would be 2. Renardo Green would be 3. And then number 4 would be Ricky Pearsall. Now, the round value and all that, I think that's a lot of second-round picks. I think probably Ricky Pearsall should have went in the back end of the second round. Like, knowing everything you know about him now and how, like, I'm high on him. But I think he went about where I had a second round. You know, second round is probably where he should have gone. It's probably where he should have gone. Right about where Renardo went. And Renardo, I would be a lot higher on. I just got to see him finish games more because I really like him. Now, my favorite thing about Renardo Green is teams tested that dude. Again, I'm rewatching the 2024 season every morning, just spending the time watching the game, and bought this stupid treadmill. So I walk on the treadmill and watch old 49ers football games from last year. Dude, teams isolated and went after Renardo Green when he was in there. Answered the call pretty well. But, man, he missed a lot of games. He was in all the games, right? Did he play everyone? But, like, he did not finish a lot of games. So, like, that's one of the things I want to see. I'm excited about. He played in all 17 games. Only had 7 starts. He didn't finish a lot of games. And so, like, I'm watching these. I'm like, dude, where'd Zero go? He's not out there anymore. Oh, Isaac Gotham's back in. That's an issue. And so the potential of those 4 is huge. Now, you can throw in Isaac Garrido. We'll have to see. We need some steps up from Isaac Garrido in regard to vision. And can he start to see the hole, the mistakes, the fumbles, all those things. But, man, the upside on Garrido, it's there. It is there. It is there. And so I'm excited to see those 5 guys. Dude, that is a draft freaking haul, man. Pearsall, Pooney, Malik, Renardo Green, Garrido. Oh, like, dude, that is spicy. And if you can do another year of that this year, that would be huge. Now, you have Jacob Cowling. You have Tatum Bethune. Those are the only other two picks that are on the roster. You know, where can they get to that point, right? Now, here is my Jacob Cowling draft write-up last year before the 49ers drafted him, right? And, you know, Cowling showed up in 15 games, but he was just the punt returner. Like that was it. He had that one, you know, 50-yard catch, and then didn't get a target for, I think, another 6 weeks, which was ridiculous. But here's my write-up of Jacob Cowling before the 49ers drafted him. You know, 5'8", 168, 23 years old, productive but tiny. Caught a pass in 57 straight games, never missed a game in 5 years. Niners love that. Put more effort into blocking than most 200-pound wide receivers in his class. Cuts on a dime. Probably a slot-only player, but his speed and release means he could play outside in today's NFL. Tough gadget, returner at worst. And I think that's kind of – that floor has been established and checked, right? Gadget guy, returner at worst. Like, he's a good punt returner. The only time that he lost the ball is when Darrell Luter Jr. had no awareness whatsoever, and Brian Schneider, the worst special teams coach this decade, never adjusted. You cost your team the Super Bowl, dude. Pay the freak attention when you're the cornerback on punt return. Pay attention. And did it not once, not twice, but three times without ever getting corrected. Thank you so much, Brian Schneider, for being a jackass. But anyway, like, the player's got to learn. He never did. Anyway, back to Jacob Cowling. Screen hitches, quick outs is all he ran at Arizona, but he can run the full route tree. Has the ability, just has to learn and practice it. You just have to be okay with his size. Greg Dortch was my comp for him. And, you know, I kind of feel like we nailed that draft write-up. His problem with getting wide receiver snaps, and Kyle Shanahan said this, like, he's got to earn more playing time. He's got to earn more playing time. And, man, misalignments, had some holding calls, blocking. Like, it's a lot there. And the wide receiver position for the 49ers is one of the most advanced in the NFL. And so going from Arizona, where, again, it's kind of that spread, you know, air raid, whatever, you're not running the full route tree, you've got to learn all the positions, and that's hard. So, can he take that jump in his second year? We'll see. But at worst, you have your punt returner and you have wide receiver depth with speed that can go over the top. I think the slot is where he will find himself eventually, but he's got to learn some of that stuff. Kawachipto says, yeah, he just never learned the playbook. Looked uncomfortable returning punts. I never saw that silent. I thought he was awesome. I really thought Jacob Counter was not amazing, but dude, had no turnovers besides the time Luter caused him to fumble and hit him before the ball got there. Kyle doesn't care about special teams. He cares about drafting high kickers and punters that don't translate. Kyle Chipta, I don't know how Luter is still on the team over Womack. One of the dumbest decisions ever. Womack is now a starting corner, borderline Pro Bowl type player. God, that pisses me off. Yeah, Luter, I get Ambry Thomas. You kept Ambry Thomas and cut Womack. That's all Nick Sorensen, though. 100% Nick Sorensen hated Womack from the time he was here, said he didn't want him playing nickel because he wasn't tough enough. That's all Nick Sorensen, the worst defensive coordinator in the history of the 49ers franchise. I'm still pissed about that. If you had Samuel Womack right now, you've got three corners. You got three corners, and you are set, man. Stupid Nick Sorensen. God, he was so bad. I'm telling everybody how bad he was the whole time. Everybody's like, oh, just give him a chance. He's going to get better. Ugh. And like, I know I am positive to a fault. And I've been told that my entire life. And I don't want to change that. But sometimes whenever I'm negative, especially on this show, people get real pissed off at me. And so whenever I come out and I criticize a coach or a player, guys, I'm doing it because of tape, and I'm doing it because of what I saw at training camp and practices. Like, that's just who I am. I'm not going to, how do I say this? I'm not, I'm not a blowhard. I'm not going to say takes that I don't give a shit about. I'm going to say so because I believe it. And because the film, does that mean I'm right all the time? No. But I'm not one of those people that's going to stand up here. I'm not phony. I can't be phony. I'm going to say what I believe. And what I believe is football driven. Whether I'm right or wrong, that's there. And for everybody telling me Shanahan knows better, which he does, he's way smarter than I am at football, and it's not even close, and I'll never be on that level. But I also didn't draft Jake Moody at number three. I also didn't give a special teams coordinator job to Brian Schneider and let him keep that job for 3 years after being total trash. I also didn't hire Pet Rock as a defensive coordinator and stay with him even after we freaking were not even in the playoffs. I didn't bring in Devondre Campbell, who had major character red flag issues already, and play him over D Winners even after the 49ers were eliminated from the playoffs. I get, I am not a decision maker or anywhere on the realm of the 49ers front office. I love Kyle Shanahan. I'm thankful he's the coach of the 49ers. But to say you can't criticize some of these moves after we just talked through Solomon Thomas at three, after we just talked about Joe Williams and drafting a kicker and a punter in the third and fourth round, come on, man. Like, criticism is allowed. Yatsik, I am no bootlicker, nor will I ever be. I purposefully have turned down jobs because I don't want anybody telling me what I should and shouldn't say. And yeah, this is football. It's fandom and whatever else and cool, whatever else. I am not the guy that is going to sit idly by and say things that I don't believe in or bite my tongue. I'm terrible. You can ask my wife. My wife's family is incredible for the most part, but there are some members of the family where I cannot be myself around them. I just don't go around that family. If I have to walk on eggshells, get me the F out this room because this ain't going to go well for anybody. And I'm not the type of person that can say something that I don't believe and act like something else. I can't do it. I just can't do it. Lee, right here, 6-11, please stay positive. I'm positive about the 49ers' future, but I'm sorry if I'm critical of certain pieces. And I know it rubs people the wrong way. It's your team. Love your team. I would implore you to be able to hear conversations about both sides, why things are good and why they are bad, be able to filter through that information and come up with your own opinion. Do not agree with me. Gosh, please don't agree with me. And whenever I criticize a player that you're super high on, man, go watch some tape, go watch the games and disagree with me. That's awesome. My job is not to convert anybody. That's all I'm here. My job is to build a better community. That's why we do the draft parties and all that stuff and the Patreon and the Zoom hangouts and all that stuff. Build a community and help people have more fun being a fan. Sadly, sometimes I'm going to put out negative takes on players and people are going to come at me. That's cool. Coaching background, that's exactly what I was as a coach. That's what I'm bringing to this. So, oh, man. Lid Dog, if you're not honest as a coach or host, then why should anyone listen? The truth hurts. Thank you. I appreciate that. Dang, John, I get the smiley faces here. Silent, thanks for the super chat. They overweigh scheme fit, miss out on a lot of good players. That is true. And again, if you thought Solomon Thomas was the worst fit, this is the result. This is the result. You go get guys, Akello Witherspoon, that are not scheme fits. And you say that they're good players and will make them fit, and they don't fit. That's why the 49ers draft board is what it is. It's because it's marred by past draft scars and the Trey Lances with no experience, the Reuben Foster with off-the-field injury concerns, Javon Kinlaw injury concerns. That is why the 49ers draft freaking Ricky Pearsall at 31, because they're like, okay, he's got experience. He's a perfect scheme fit. He's never been hurt. He's got no character issues and he fits what we do. All right. We're going to take him a full round ahead of where he should go. And they didn't miss. They didn't miss. And so what I would say, be ready for more crazy, because I do not think that the 49ers after the 2024 draft, which they nailed it, they got five contributors. That's rare in a draft. Without Adam Peters, do not think that they're going to go back to groupthink philosophy whenever it comes to drafting. Don't do it. Can't do it. Won't do it. I want winners. I love it, man. Can't do it. Won't do it. Off topic, but did you discuss the last Brugler mock? I haven't. I haven't looked through it all the way yet. I need to do that. I haven't done that. I'm working draft stuff right now, getting that draft party together. So I apologize. That's on me. But yeah, I'll look through that and we'll talk about that on the next show. But man, this is fun. And we got through some rough things. No doubt about that, with the off the field and good picks and bad picks and all that stuff. But hopefully it was good. And maybe we can add here's the sad reality. The 2024 draft will be filled with hits and misses. You're going to have some terrible draft picks in there. You're going to have some Jake Moody's. You're going to have some Ambry Thomas's. You're going to have Jalen Hurts. They're going to be there. And those names hurt. And they should. But can you get another Kittle? Can you get another Warner? Can you get another Purdy? Hell, can you get another Dominique Pooney or Diamador Lenore? That is the question. Because it's both. You're going to have misses. You're going to have all 11 guys aren't going to be all pro players, ladies and gentlemen. I hate to spoil the party for you. But the Niners at least put in the work. And I think that they are improving throughout this process and that they have gotten better. They have gotten better since they started. I really, really hope, really, really hope that they could continue to build on that. Man, you get five more contributors like you did last year. That's as much as you could ever ask for any team in the NFL draft. Five contributors in one draft with 11 picks. It's a 50% hit rate. That's high. That's really high. Hey, overall draft, you're talking probably 25 to 28% hit rate at all. So historically speaking, with 11 draft picks, you should get three, maybe four. Can you do five again? Can you do five again? I sure as hell hope so. We got the coach approach tomorrow morning with Ant. That's going to be fun, 10 o'clock. And again, come party with us at the draft. Get your tickets, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Have to say thank you to TheMattressGuyCO.com for making Demo even a possibility and helping financially with that. Diehard Niner fan. If you ever need to recycle or get rid of a mattress anywhere in the Bay Area, go to TheMattressGuyCO.com. And if you need a venue, any type of party, anywhere out there, not just California, Knees Up Venues. They found the Broadway studios. They got us the location. And it was really, really pricey, relevant. And I'm so thankful to them. More Niners fans. Knees Up Venues, TheMattressGuyCO.com. Appreciate all y'all do for us. Until next time, y'all are the best. Stay strong, faithful.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to five pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.